your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Thursday's edition of Birds 365, joined now by great friend of the program, great friend of the network, Bill Colarulo. Bill, nice to see you again, man. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be back on, Jacob, man. Love the Birds 365 show. I've been checking it out. What's going on, Johnny?
What's up, Bill? Good to see you, bud. Happy for your success over at 97.5, doing a tremendous job over there with my buddy Andrew Dzieciko. I see you guys have been talking about the draft. So let's get your thoughts. What's your excitement level over that process? How are we getting a lot of flowers? Is Bill Colarulo in that group? Did you put in your money to give Howie his flowers?
Look, he deserves his flowers, but you know better than anybody, John, the draft, it's hard to grade right away. We got to see how it goes. But right now, only a few days removed from the draft, it's hard not to be happy with what happened. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean with your first two picks, nobody saw that coming. And I like some of the moves they made later, but, you know, we'll kind of see how it plays out. You know, I'm usually very positive, but with the draft, I always preach patience because you just don't know. I mean, everybody thinks their draft was good, usually.
Yes. No, everybody. Yeah. You're right. Everybody thinks they hit a home run. Everybody.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
Yeah. And you mentioned, Bill, we'll see how all these players pan out. But I do want to give you a chance to comment on at least the decision making. I mean, this is what John and I have been talking about all week. Howie is sound in making decisions during the draft. I mean, I keep pointing to the Cooper DeJean trade. Go wait. You go up to 40 and then there's a small run on cornerbacks. It really seems like Howie has mastered reading the draft board and kind of playing other teams almost. What'd you make of Howie's decision-making and during the NFL draft?
It's always good, man. And I think you look at also his ability to pick up the third, the fourth, and the fifth rounders for next year is I think Howie has a luxury that a lot of general managers don't, which is job security. He knows he doesn't have to worry about always winning right now. He can prepare and plan for the future, which a lot of these GMs, they don't care about stockpiling picks for next year or the year after because they may not be the GM next year or the year after. So I think it's helpful that he has that job security. But the fact that he was able to play the board the way he did, Quinyon Mitchell falls right into his lap. And then I did love the aggressiveness going up and getting a Cooper DeJean in the second round. The Jalix Hunt pick, I'm sure Jalix Hunt has all of the skills and attributes to be a double-digit sack guy if they grow him and develop him the right way. Me personally, though, I would have rather have seen them go a different direction right there in the third round. I think this team had some other needs that maybe could have been addressed. But at the same time, I always preach, hey, take the best player available. So if they thought Jalix Hunt was the best player available in the third round, then I guess you take him. It's just for me, I would have rather have seen them got maybe a better linebacker, maybe a better second tight end than a developmental edge rusher that maybe we don't see contribute for a couple of years.
Yeah, and Peyton Wilson won a couple spots after Jalix Hunt. That's one decision I've been looking at. And Peyton Wilson, great linebacker, maybe the best linebacker in this draft, but he was in the third round for a reason. He had a lot of injury issues. He had some off the field issues earlier in his college career. So he didn't, you know, there were a lot of teams that put him down on the board, but I did notice that Pittsburgh took him, and Pittsburgh has a very good reputation, very good medical staff that a lot of people lean on throughout the league at University of Pittsburgh. And my thought process there is if Pittsburgh cleared him, he's probably okay from a physical standpoint. And then I say the one weakness, the one obvious weakness on this team, Bill, is all ball linebacker. Maybe N'Kobe Dean turns into what we all hoped he would be, but the evidence hasn't been there. Devin White, people in Tampa couldn't wait to get rid of him. That's what you're looking at all-ball linebacker. And you could have had a potential day one starter versus a guy who might not help you for 3 years. That to me is a little bit shaky.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on the linebacker position, because I think you look at that defense, and look, I know we're being greedy, but that's what we have to be right now in the offseason. But you look at the defense, and the linebacker, once again, is a question mark going into this season. We're all hopeful N'Kobe Dean turns out to be the guy he was at Georgia. We just haven't seen it. Devin White, up and down when he was in Tampa. So he's another question mark. And then behind those two guys, what do you have? A bunch of question marks. We don't know if Oren Burks is going to be able to step in and play at a high level. He was mainly a special teamer in San Francisco. Ben Van Sumeren played fullback a couple of years ago. Zach Bond, I think, is more of an edge rusher on this defense with Vic Fangio. And I know people are excited about Jeremiah Trotter Jr., but fifth round rookie. So you have a bunch of question marks. I would have loved to have seen them take a flyer on Peyton Wilson. I mean, I know he has literally no ACL in his knee, is from what I'm reading, but he would have been a guy that could have been at that point. Taking him in the second round would have been probably too high for an injury-prone linebacker like that. But at the third round, instead of a developmental piece, to take a flyer on a guy at a position where you really need it, we'll see. Linebacker came back to haunt them last year. Hopefully it doesn't happen this season.
Bill, what do you think of the defensive backs position? Obviously, they added those two picks, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. How do you think they fit? Do you think they can be year one contributors to this football team? I think coming into the offseason, all Eagles fans were looking for an improved defense. They were looking for more players on defense. Well, they addressed the position in a big way. They addressed the side of the football in a big way in the draft. Do you think they have a big impact on the football team this year? And what do you make of those picks?
So it's going to be interesting, because I'm really curious how Vic Fangio utilizes all this versatility he now has on the back end. We know how versatile Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is. He has the ability to come down and play that nickel corner. We saw him do it when he was here 2 years ago. We saw him do it when he was in New Orleans before he transitioned to safety. And now you add Cooper DeJean, who also has the ability to probably play all of these positions on the back end. So how does he deploy these guys? I'm excited to see. But with Quinyon Mitchell, obviously they want him to be a true outside corner. I hope he wins the starting job in training camp, but I'm not ruling out Kelee Ringo yet. I loved what I saw from Kelee Ringo last year. I think another year with him learning everything you read and you hear about Vic Fangio is this guy's a great teacher. I'm excited to see what Kelee Ringo does in year two. Still only 21 years old, John. I mean, this is a young guy.
Yeah,
so I expect a battle in training camp between Kelee Ringo and Quinyon Mitchell for that other outside cornerback position. I hope Quinyon wins it. You know, first round pick, I think his ceiling is really, really high. I'm just not ruling out Kelee just yet.
I'm with you. I talk about Kelee a lot. I love his upside. I think he really showed something late last season. One of the few Eagles to show anything late last season. He's tremendously athletic, very young, as you mentioned, Bill. James Bradbury, Adam Schefter was on with you guys in the morning today saying, oh, he doesn't think the Eagles want to move up James Bradbury. I think he's a great fit for Vic Fangio as a natural zone corner, as a guy who's savvy, understands, communicates well. I don't necessarily believe that the Eagles – look, there's a lot of bodies at cornerback all of a sudden. When you add in Cooper DeJean as well with Quinyon Mitchell, because the Eagles scouted Cooper DeJean as an outside corner, doesn't mean when the coaches get a hold of him, he can't change. He's very versatile, but nonetheless, he can play. Isaiah Rogers. Yeah. I don't know how many phone calls you took at 97.5, but this guy's Deion Sanders, evidently.
Everybody loves him. He's going
to slot right in. Now, Isaiah Rogers, there's no path to playing time. They have too many bodies at corner. You don't believe James Bradbury is going to be back, do you?
I don't. I think it made sense not to cut him yet. There was no need to. You cut him pre-June 1st. The cap hit was ridiculous. So I thought it made sense to keep him around. I think it even makes sense to keep him through training camp. Let's see if maybe he shocks the world and comes back as the 2022 version. I'm not expecting it, but why not have him here in training camp, see what he has left, and if at that time he's not the same guy he was in 2022 and he's still the Bradberry he was last year, then I think you cut him. I just don't think there's any rush to do it.
Well, I also think your training camp thought, if there's an injury somewhere else, maybe somebody gets desperate and offers you something for James Bradberry. So, yeah, wait it out. I mean, play out the clock.
Yeah, it's just funny, though, because you look at that cornerback room, and all of a sudden, it's turned into a pretty deep room. Now, there's, again, some question marks. You know, we don't know how, obviously, Quinyon and Cooper DeJean will play at the NFL level. We don't know what Isaiah Rodgers is going to look like after missing a year being suspended. What does Zach McPherson look like this year, coming back after he tore his Achilles in training camp last season? So there's a lot of question marks, but the upside now with that cornerback room is high.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Vic Fangio does. And look, I'm not the biggest James Bradberry guy, but I do think there's value. John's pointed out how well he fits Vic Fangio's defense. And the other part of it is Vic Fangio's defense is a communication-heavy defense. There's a lot of different things that these young guys are going to have to learn on the fly. So from that perspective, I think keeping Bradberry on the roster would actually make more sense than letting him go for nothing, unless someone comes in with a great trade offer. I wouldn't be jumping to move Bradberry. But Bill, I want to ask you about day three. Any picks stand out to you on day three? Obviously, Trotter Jr. we briefly talked about, but I thought the Birds did a pretty good job of getting value in day three. I thought they got some players that could potentially contribute to this team in the future. What'd you think of the day three that they had?
I liked it. I'm trying to temper my expectations because you're talking about some fifth round rookies.
Yeah, right.
But I really like the Trevor Keegan pick.
That's my favorite too.
I mean, he started, 37 games at guard on the Michigan Wolverines, who won back-to-back Joe Moore Awards for the best offensive line in college football, and he's the starting right guard. So I like that, but I'll tell you, my favorite move was the Anaya Smith move out of Texas A&M. I know he's a fifth-round wide receiver. They don't always pan out, but you look at his film and you look at what he did at Texas A&M in the SEC, and then you look at the Eagles roster where they really don't have a clear-cut wide receiver three. I know they brought in Paris Campbell. They brought in Devontae Parker, who don't really move the needle for me. I think Anaya Smith has a real shot if he can come in here and be that all-purpose guy who gets the yards after catch. To me, he is a true slot receiver that could fit with this offense. You know you're not going to have any shot at breaking the lineup as an outside wide receiver with Devontae and AJ. But Anaya Smith in the slot, that's intriguing to me.
Yeah, I'd like the Anaya Smith pick as well, Bill. But my concern is he comes across to me as a manufactured touch player. And I've seen no evidence of this team being able to take advantage of that type of player. That's a Kyle Shanahan type of player. That's where you have to.
You have Kellen Moore now, though, John.
Yeah, well, Kellen doesn't have a great history of it either, if you look at it. Not a lot of people do. People talk about it, and you might see it scripted early in those first 15 plays, and then you got to show a lot of discipline because the easiest way to get somebody the football is run a route.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I can't do all this jet sweep, orbit motion. Maybe I'll script it up, but then they get away from it. They're not disciplined enough to go back to it. So I don't trust the Eagles with that type of player. Now, while I say that, I mentioned that to somebody down there, and I kind of got balked at. No, he can run routes. Kenny. I mean, I saw that film. He looks like a manufactured touch guy to me. So I don't know. But I'm with you. I don't care about Paris Campbell. I don't care about Devontae Parker. They got to get better from those guys.
Yeah, my concern is, as you know, Nick Sirianni usually leans veteran. We know he's got some history with Paris Campbell. So if I'm looking at the roster right now, I'm thinking Paris Campbell has the inside track at the wide receiver three. But Howie Roseman made it a point at the combine to specifically talk about, hey, we need to play some of our younger guys. Sometimes you're going to look at the depth chart and you're not going to feel comfortable because maybe the guy hasn't done it yet, but we took this guy or we brought this guy in because we believe in him. So I'm hoping that maybe Sirianni's mentality switches a little bit and they'll give some of these young guys opportunities over the Paris Campbells or the Devontae Parkers.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about Trevor Keegan too. I thought that was a great pick. I mean, 37 starts. He was a captain at Michigan. He was, I think he was all big, whatever the team is to make for the Big Ten. He was a starter on that team. So I think he's a great pick. And anytime you give Stoutland, you know, a player like that, I think he can do something with him. But I want to get your opinion on Mekhi Becton. 24 tackles. John's talked about it. How many offensive linemen went in this draft? If you said before the draft, will Howie not get one of them? You'd say you're crazy. So they go and they get Mekhi Becton, young, just turned 25, got tons of starts in the league. What do you think of that? And can he be a potential swing tackle for this team?
I think they had to go get him because all of us assumed, I thought they were going to take an offensive lineman that could play tackle in the first round. It's just like you just mentioned, the way the first round went, they couldn't get him. But I think it became very clear, and Howie admitted as much, that they did want to try to get a tackle in the draft, but they couldn't get one because as much as I love Trevor Keegan pick and Dylan McMahon, neither one of those guys is going to have the ability to slide outside and be that swing tackle you talked about. So I think the Mekhi Becton move was really out of necessity. They had to get some more depth at tackle, losing Driscoll. So I like it, but I'm also, again, not getting overly excited. This guy did miss 33 out of 34 games in 2021 and 2022. But to me, this just screams Jeff Stoutland. I mean, if there's a guy that can come in here with all the talent that Mekhi Becton has and Stoutland can get a hold of him, I think he can, if he could stay healthy, there's a reason why he was what, the 11th overall pick in 2020. So it's exciting. It's certainly exciting because they needed it, but hopefully we never see him because that would mean Maialata or Lane Johnson's not playing. So hopefully we don't see Mekhi Becton, I think it was a necessary move.
Well, I'm gonna tell you how we see Mekhi Becton. Starting right guard, 6'7" and 3'8", 364-pound Mekhi Becton. Is that a possibility or not, Bill? Will they consider
interesting?
It's evident that they don't believe in Tyler Steen. They're not gonna hand him that job. And that's why they were looking for what they were looking for in the first round, which was a Troy a Potano or a J.C. Latham, a guy who could start at guard and kick out to ultimately right tackle whenever Lane Johnson decides to retire. That would have been the perfect world for the Eagles. They weren't able to get that player. Did they get that player after the draft? Will they look at Mekhi Becton as a guard?
I'm not sure, but you mentioned Troy Fatano. That was the guy I wanted in the first round. That's exactly who I thought for the reasons you just said. He could compete for right guard, and then he could slide out to tackle. But I'm not sure that I'm with you on that they don't believe in Tyler Steen necessarily because they did wait until the fifth round to draft an interior offensive lineman. I think if they felt that Tyler Steen was not as close as you're indicating, maybe they would have used the third round pick instead of Jalix Hunt on an interior lineman. Maybe they would have used the fourth round pick instead of Will Shipley on an interior offensive lineman. They waited all the way to the fifth round. So I think Tyler Steen does have the inside track. And I know we shouldn't look too much into this, but you know, the way they set up the lockers, they did move Tyler Steen's locker there.
Right. I mean, you know, look, he's penciled in. He's got the inside track. That's what that indicates, Bill. You're right. He's got the inside track, but it's evident the Eagles don't want to hand him the job.
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world. From the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with the moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness Inc.
It might be Matt Hennessy. It might be Mekhi Becton. It might be Trevor Keegan. They want competition. And I think you're right. The player I think the Eagles wanted more than they have this cloud of prospects. They have four or five guys, basically. Wherever they start, they identify a cloud of prospects. And I think if you gave Howie Truth Serum, number one this year would have been Faltano. Mitchell probably number two. Not a bad pick. Devontae Smith was once number five of five. That worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
So it's not about that, but they wanted competition. They don't want to hand them that job. Where's that competition coming from? So give me percentages. Hennessy, Keegan, Becton.
I think it's probably equal between all three. I don't know. They really know what they have. Hennessy's another guy who's battled injuries. Mekhi Becton battled injuries, and Keegan's a fifth round rookie. So I think all three of those guys are going to compete equally. But look, just like we thought last year, John, that there was going to be a competition at right guard, there was never a competition at right guard. They gave that job to Cam Jurgens. They never said it officially going into training camp. All of us thought there's going to be a competition. There never was one. So is that kind of what we're going to see with Tyler Steen this year? They're not saying it's his job, but they didn't say it was Cam's job either.
Well, Nick didn't. But I'll say the difference is we all knew it was Cam's job. And that Nick would, by the way, it was hilarious at one point, because the only reason Nick kept getting that question was because he wouldn't admit it. And then one day, nobody else took a first-team rep. Nobody. And then one day, somebody asked the question, is Cam Jurgens the starter? And he said, nobody else has taken a first-team rep. What do you think? We all knew Cam Jurgens was the starter. We all knew there was no competition. In this case, Bill, we don't know that. And I think it's a big difference. They've clearly sort of indicated that they want competition, but they weren't able to get it via the draft. And that's why I say that sense of urgency of getting Becton so soon after the draft, I think that was plan B. And they acted quickly when it was like in place. They were like, well, if we get Faltano, we're not signing him. But if we don't, bang. There it is.
Now, Becton, and you maybe know this better, but I don't think he's ever played guard, though.
No.
Right? He's never played guard.
Big. We don't have Justin Herbert back there. Jalen Hurts is 6'1".
But you know what? And to be fair, Landon Dickerson is 6'6".
Yeah, that's true.
Trevor Keegan is 6'6". It's the nature of the NFL. That's where it's going. You better find that passing angle.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm glad you brought it up. I want to look into him more now because I didn't have Mekhi Becton necessarily competing for that right guard position. I thought it
would. And I don't know if he's going to. He might be too big.
Yeah, our buddy Jeff Mosier put it out there that they might consider him for right guard from inside the Birds.
It's interesting. I mean, it's definitely an interesting thought. But you're right. They definitely wanted offensive line earlier in the draft. And as soon as they couldn't get it, they went to Mekhi Becton, which, again, I think is a smart move by Howie. They needed depth along that line, losing Opetta, losing Driscoll, obviously losing Jason Kelsey. You needed something because before they signed Mekhi Becton, I guess the swing tackle was who? Fred Johnson?
Yeah. And last 2 years, the Eagles did it a little bit differently. They sort of had a left backup, which was Andre Dillard, then Fred Johnson, and they had a right backup, which was Jack Driscoll. Most teams and the Eagles want to go back to the swing tackle approach. But if it works out both ways, Mekhi Becton could be your starting right guard and your swing tackle and kick out if, God forbid, something happens to Lane Johnson or Jordan Mailata. And there's no doubt if that were the case that Mekhi Becton would move back out to tackle. But with Tyler Steen, if you go back to the first year Jordan started full time, it was Andre Dillard got the first rep on Monday. Jordan Mailata got the first rep on Tuesday. Then it was back to Dillard. Then it was back to my. It was a legitimate competition. With Cam, no. He took every single first team rep. So it is a little bit different. I think Tyler Steen is more in the category of Andre Dillard, Jordan Mailata. I think they want to see some other people. And it might be Hennessy, and it might be Tyler Steen. He might go win the job. And the locker theory will hold up.
Maybe we'll find out. They're doing that mandatory mini camp this year coming up in June. So maybe we'll find some more out then.
Yeah, we'll see what they end up doing. I want to thank everybody for checking in. Big Bill is a fan favorite in the chat.
Big Bills.
Big Bills. So if you like Big Bills, make sure you drop us a like on the show so more people can see the segment with Big Bill. Bill, one more draft pick I want to talk to you about, and it's not so much the pick as it is the philosophy, and it's Will Shipley. The team loves these running backs that can catch out of the backfield, that can kind of do it all. I don't understand it. Less the philosophy, your quarterback doesn't like to do it. He mans the offense. He's your star player. He doesn't like to throw out of the backfield. You have a humongous offensive line. Get me a LeGarrette Blount. Get me a Jordan Howard-esque running back. The Eagles just don't want to do it. What'd you think of the Will Shipley pick and what they're doing at that position?
It's interesting. I mean, it's interesting. Look, you got Saquon Barkley now, and they didn't give him the money they gave him to take him off the field very often. So you look at last year's team, even with DeAndre Swift, your third running back didn't get a lot of playing time at all. So I don't see Will Shipley beating out Kenny Gainwell. I think everything we hear is that they like Kenny Gainwell. So I'm not sure how much you even see Will Shipley this year. But again, John talked about Anaya Smith being a guy that they have to manufacture touches. That's what I kind of thought Will Shipley was going to be this year, that maybe they could move him around if they wanted to get him some touches because he has the ability, like you said, to catch the ball out of the backfield. Maybe they used him in the slot every once in a while. But it is interesting that they keep getting these smaller running backs that have these dual threat and don't utilize them, but maybe things will be different with a Kellen Moore. That's what I keep thinking, is maybe we'll figure out with this offense and Kellen Moore in Jalen Hurts' ear that it's okay to take the small little dump pass to your running back, because I also expect him to use Saquon Barkley in that fashion. We know he can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. So you have these running backs. It would be criminal for Jalen not to utilize them this year. DeAndre Swift last year was underutilized out of the backfield when it came.
35 catches last year.
Yeah, to the passing.
I'll believe it when I see it when they start throwing to the running back. You know, one of the other things is kickoff returner, because it's going to be more relevant this year.
Absolutely.
Boston Scott is gone. Will Shipley can return kicks. That might be his spot to get some playing time early. Aeneas Smith, more of a punt returner. Isaiah Rodgers was a hell of a kickoff returner.
They have so many options, John. Yeah. I mean, they have so many options now. You have Cooper DeJean, who returned punts at Iowa. You still have Britton Covey, obviously. Isaiah Rodgers.
Eagles love Covey as a punt returner. That's why Cooper can return punts. Quinyon Mitchell can return kicks, but, you know, he's going to be busy with other things.
Yeah,
they have a lot of options. You're right.
Yeah, certainly a lot of athletes. Like that rule change played into a lot of teams, you know, putting more stock in that position or at least having a competent player. It makes sense if it's going to be a lot bigger part of the game.
Yeah, you look at what Howie did so far in this draft, then it's all athletic player. I mean, these are guys are crazy athletic. When you look at Cooper DeJean and Will Shipley and Aeneas Smith, the fact that they all had that return ability shows how athletic they were. And I'm excited to see the kickoff this year with all these different pieces and how it's going to be. But yeah, like we always talk about, the old cliche is football's a three-phase game, offense, defense, and special teams. Unfortunately, we learned that the hard way in Super Bowl 57 when special teams came back to haunt us. But it's going to be even more important this year when the return on kickoffs is actually back. There will be more returns.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't forget, the Eagles drafted Jason Kelce, number 191 overall in 2011. Now they drafted an athletic center, number 190 overall in the sixth round. So by that transitive theory, Bill Colarulo, Dylan McMahon is the next Jason Kelce. Are you counting on that?
That's a tough comparison to make. I mean, I felt bad because I compared Will Shipley. I said he's the poor man's Christian McCaffrey. And I said, that's not even fair.
He's the broke man's Christian McCaffrey.
He's the poor man's Kenny Gainwell. Come on, don't get ahead of yourself.
Will is the nicest kid in the world. I told Xander, I raved about him. I've never seen anybody have a better opening press conference than Will Shipley. He is a smart kid. Everything, you're going to love him. Will Shipley. But
Howie
Howie
told us last year about that red star and that Sidney Brown was a red star guy. And then this year he said they got five of those guys.
I tried to find out who they were. They will not admit it because they don't want to. I get why. They don't want to downplay the guys who weren't.
Who weren't, yeah.
But I can tell you, Will Shipley, 1,000% is one of those five red stars. 1,000%.
And I love that they did that because they did. Look, you lost Fletcher Cox. You lost Jason Kelce. They're very big on culture, which I think is extremely important. And now you brought in a bunch of rookies who you gave the five-star or the red star to, five of these guys. And they've told us what that means. These guys were captains and all that. So I like that they've added that type of player to their culture. But Dylan McMahon, to me, he's another one of these Jeff Stoutland University guys. I was looking at his shuttle, the 4.33, being the second being second fastest amongst interior offensive linemen. But John, outside of Dylan McMahon, if God forbid Juergens was to get hurt, who's your first backup center? Is it Hennessy? You're not going to want to move Dickerson away from left guard.
No, you're not moving him. No way.
So I think McMahon, even as a sixth rounder, still has a good shot to make the team because you need some depth at center because you really don't have it outside of Hennessy.
Yeah, Matt was a starting center in Atlanta, and he was pretty good. So, I mean, but all the questions about Matt Hennessy are injury related.
Yeah.
Because he was an ascending player until the injuries took over. But he's a big question mark, but he can play if he's healthy. I'm with you with I was joking about Dylan McMahon, by the way. No,
Never one to get too
you're joking, John. You don't really think he's gonna be Jason Kelce.
But by definition, he's one of the red, as you mentioned, team captain. He was the team captain, Trevor Keegan as well. So that's three of your five your red star players. My other guesses would be Cooper and Jalix Hunt. Jalix is, he went to Cornell.
You don't think Quinyon?
No, but it doesn't have to do with talent. It's got to do, as you mentioned, team captain. Not that he doesn't have great character because they love his character. That's the thing. because he could have went to Alabama and he stuck at Toledo.
Yeah, right.
Nick Saban was trying to get him in the transfer portal. And he said, no, these guys were loyal to me. So if I had to pick the five, if he was one of the five, it wouldn't surprise me.
That's what I loved the most when Saban said that they were trying to get him in the transfer portal, because a lot of Eagles fans are nervous that the Eagles took Quinyon Mitchell when Kool-Aid McKinstry was on the board, Terrion Arnold was on the board.
Yeah.
These are two guys that were already at Alabama, and Saban's trying to get Quinyon Mitchell to transfer to Alabama. So that made me feel a little better.
Yeah, and you mentioned the loyalty to Toledo. I think John mentioned that. You kind of have it in two receivers here who I know they just got paid big money, but those guys know as well as us those deals are going to be bargains once the market
gets reset. They could have got
more. So they're showing some loyalty, too, to stay into Philadelphia. Now you get a guy who's a loyal type of guy at cornerback. Pretty good stuff. Bill, before I let you go, before we let you go, I know you're coming up at 10 a.m. on 97.5 The Fanatic, doing great work over there. Make sure everybody follows Bill on Twitter at Bill Colarula and all his social platforms. Does a great job on Instagram and YouTube as well. What did you think overall of the NFL draft? I mean, any other teams stand out to you, either good or bad?
The New York Giants surprised me. Now we're hearing that they did try to move up. They did try to move up. I guess they wanted Drake May.
Oh, they wanted Drake,
yeah. So at first, they really surprised me because I'm thinking, how could you not take a quarterback and you took a wide receiver? Because I just don't think the Giants are going to be that high on the draft board, because I don't think Daniel Jones is very good, but I think he's good enough that you're going to be in that purgatory where there'll be 7-10, 8-9. The only reason they were as high as they were this past year was because he got hurt.
Right.
So I don't know if they're going to have that ability to take a quarterback that high in the draft. But once I read that they did try to get Drake May, I guess they just weren't sold on the J.J. McCarthy or the Michael Penix Jr. And then that's the other surprise for me is Atlanta. I just don't understand why you take a quarterback there after you just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed.
Yeah, bizarre decision by Atlanta. That's why we talk about decisions. Howie Roseman, generally everything makes sense. Some of these other teams, you go, what are you doing?
What is
the plan here? Yeah. And, you know, evaluation, sometimes you get the player right, sometimes you get them wrong. We get it right with Bill Colarulo. Go do 10 o'clock, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. It was fun to be back on, Jacob. I see some of the Power Hour crew checking in the chat.
They're looking for you, Bill. They're all accusing me of firing you. I'm like, believe me, I didn't let Big Bills go. He left me.
Nah, we're hoping to still do some work together. So it was just the scheduling made it difficult. So any chance I get to come back on, Jacob, I'll be here, man.
We appreciate you, Bill. Bill, real quick, do the Sixers force a game 7?
I hope so. That's what we're going to spend a lot of time on the radio today talking about.
I'm going to give you an over-under. Joel Embiid turnover 6-3 in the final 3 minutes.
I think he's going under. I think he's going under tonight. I'm expecting a big bounce back from Joel. But Tyrese Maxey, we knew he was a star, but we learned the other night that he is a superstar. That was unbelievable.
You need a closer. You need a creator to close games. The Sixers have to explain that to Joel Embiid. Get him to the final 5 minutes, but the final 5 minutes, that's Tyrese.
Yeah,
offense has to run through Tyrese Maxey.
46 in an elimination game. That's a bona fide superstar, Bill, as you said. Bill, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, boys. I'll see you guys soon.
Yep, thanks, Bill.
Good stuff from Bill Colarula, all the chat. I know you guys love Big Bill. I'm a big fan of Big Bill as well. So you heard him. Hopefully we can do more with him and Jacob Sports. He does a great job over at 97.5 The Fanatic. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. A lot of people watching the show right now. Make sure you drop a like. Drop a like for Big Bill. Drop a like for Johnny Mac and I. We appreciate it. Coming back, we'll put a close on the show. First week after the draft. It went by quick. It already feels like it's settled dust to me, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, well, you know, when you cover a team, always look forward, never look back.
Yep.
Now it's rookie camp.
Rookie camp coming up tomorrow. So we'll see what we learn about these guys that we've spent all week talking about. So stay tuned here on Bird 365. We'll come back and put a close on the show. Stay tuned.